Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Melcast Limited Q2 FY 2023 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Sonia Keswani from Ernst & Young IR Practice. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thanks, Sujan, and good morning, everyone. On behalf of Melcast Limited, I welcome all of you to the company's Q2 and H1 FY 2023 earnings conference call. I am Sonia Keswani from Ernst & Young IR Practice, and we manage investor relations for Melcast Limited. You would have already received the Q2 and H1 FY 2023 results and investor presentation, which is also available in our filings with the BSE. To discuss the company's business performance during the quarter and outlook, we have with us today Mr. P. Deepak, Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. S. K. Shivakumar, Chief Financial Officer of Melcast. Before we proceed with the call, a disclaimer. Please do note that anything said on this call during the course of the interaction and in our collaterals, which reflects the outlook towards the future or which should be construed as a certain forward-looking statement, must be viewed in conjunction with the risks the company faces and may not be updated from time to time. More details are provided at the end of the investor presentation and other filings that can be found on our website, www.melcast.com. Should you have any queries or need any further information at the end of this call, you can reach out to us at the email addresses mentioned in the company collaterals. With that, I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Deepak. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Sonia. Thank you, everybody, for attending this call. We really appreciate your time. Before I proceed with the quarterly performance, I hope you're all doing well and enjoy your Diwali festivities with your families. And season's greetings to all your families from all of us here at Melcast. I'm pleased to share that we continued our growth momentum and recorded record sales for the third consecutive quarter. Our total revenue stood at 332 crores in Q2 FY23, which is a growth of about 37% year-over-year and about 11% quarter-on-quarter. Growth was primarily driven by volume increase that stood at 22,090 tons, which is up 15%. Yeah, sorry about the technical difficulty. Thank you, Sonia. Thank you, everybody, for attending this call. We really appreciate your time. Before I proceed with the quarterly performance, I hope you are all doing well and enjoyed the Diwali festivities with your families. I'm pleased to share that we continued with our growth momentum and reported record revenues for the third consecutive quarter. Our total revenue stood at 332 crores in Q2 of FY23, so a growth of about 37% year-over-year and close to 11% quarter-on-quarter. This growth was primarily driven by volume increase that stood at 22,090 tons, up 50% year-over-year, coupled with better realization due to increase in exports and growth in the commercial vehicle segment. On the margin front, our EBITDA stood at 30 crores in Q2 FY23, up 81% year-over-year and 29% quarter-on-quarter, driven by strong demand and coupled with softening of raw material prices. And Melcast, as a result of benefiting from the lag in the pass-through that has been put in place, were able to achieve also some better performance in the quarter. I'm happy to share that our EBITDA per kg stood at 13.5 rupees per kg in Q2 of FY23. And if you take the entire H1 of FY23, it's 12.9 rupees per kg. This perfectly aligns with our guidance of an EBITDA of 12 rupees per kg for FY23, as stated in the past. Moving on to how we've done segment-wise and our outlook for the coming quarters, the tractor segment performed well on the back of strong production numbers. That the volume for tractors in Q3 and Q4 would be lower than Q2 of FY23. MMHCV, the medium and heavy commercial vehicle segment, demonstrated a strong performance as well. And we expect that going forward, the growth momentum will continue into the second half of FY23. On the export front, demand remains strong, and we recorded a revenue of 83 crores this quarter and 155 crores in H1 of FY23, Majority of the new products that we're launching are now in their final ramp-up stage. And given our growth trajectory and upcoming new launches that will hit market in the next quarter, we expect that we will achieve our target of 300 crores revenue from exports in the current year. Segment-wise revenue contribution in H1 of FY23 saw a large share coming from the M&HCV segment, which was 35.9%, followed by tractors 34%, exports were at 25%, off-highway equipment at 1.8%, and railways were at 3%. Moreover, I think we're on track to meet our guidance of about 90,000 tons for the current year, as we did 20,090 tons in Q2 and 42,248 tons in H1. Besides the strong quarterly performance, I'd like to highlight that we were felicitated with two awards, one from Tata Motors for extraordinary support and another one from Automotive Axles Limited for excellence in new product development in casting. This serves as validation towards our strong product portfolio and our best-in-class service to our customers. To sum up, looking forward to FY23, we see strong demand coming in from the M&HCV and export segments, with the tractor segment facing slight slowdown in H2 as the typical seasonality kicks in. Overall, in terms of revenue, we expect the performance of Q3 to be largely in line with Q2, followed by a stronger performance in Q4 on the back of new launches, export market, and typically a strong Q4 for the CV segment. With this, I think we can now open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Participants who wish to ask a question may kindly press star 1 on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Abhishek Tiwari from Investor. Can we proceed?
Oh, yeah. Am I audible?
Yes, Abhishek, there you are.
Yeah. So, congratulations, sir, for a phenomenal set of results and more so exactly delivering on what we guided during our Q1 call for the Q2 results. And also very heartening to see very detailed presentation which covers outlook for third and the fourth quarter as well. Sir, coming on to questions, sir, I have three questions. My first question is regarding volume visibility for FY24. Are we looking to cross magical six-digit mark, that is 1 lakh tons of sales in FY24, or we are looking to even surpass that meaningfully?
I think the answer to that would be yes. Certainly, there are factors beyond our control that could hinder that or that could accelerate that. But certainly, that's what we would hope to do in FY24. Would be to do better than the 1 lakh ton mark that you're alluding to.
Okay, great, sir. So my second question is a bit broader. It is regarding the replacement value. So today we are having capacity of almost 1,60,000 tons and minimum 50-odd crore of capex, we can go up to 2,10,000 tons. So what is the kind of capital investment one has to incur to set up the kind of capacity and capabilities that we have? Considering 2,10,000 tons of capacity, any replacement value or per ton basis guidance that we can give?
I think, typically speaking, just give me one second. I just want to scribble down some numbers so that I don't just think. Just give me one second. I will answer that question.
So, shall I ask my third question, meanwhile?
Sure, please ask your third question.
Yeah. So my third question and last is, it is regarding debt. So today we are having 300 odd crores of debt and we are incurring 30 crores annual finance cost. So there is significant jump that can come in the bottom line from mere reduction of the debt. So we have some kind of timeline by which we see a meaningful reduction on the balance sheet in debt or becoming a debt free on net basis.
So in terms of, you know, what our current repayment schedules are, right, so the repayment schedules are approximately, I think, between 30 and 38 crores a year going forward for the next few years in terms of our long-term debt. Right, I think in terms of the debt figures, about half of that is working capital related debt, and a much smaller portion is only the more than half is working capital related, and a smaller portion is the term loan, right? Like I said, the working capital, the term loan repayments stands at between 30 to 38 crores for the next few years. Certainly, if...
Excuse me, sir. This is the operator.
Yes.
The management line is just unmuted. Sir, can you hear us?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. We can hear you now.
Okay. I'm not sure what the...
So we were discussing... Yes.
Yeah.
The tech part we were discussing, sir, and the replacement question is coming.
Yeah, so I think replacement on the CapEx replacement would be approximately between 850 to 1,000 crores would be the replacement CapEx, if I was to look at it. And then, of course, in addition to that, there's also the working capital element to it. The second question, the last question you had was regarding the debt. Perhaps you couldn't hear. Approximately 30 to 38 crores is the repayment schedule that we have on the term loan. But I think if the next couple of years go as what we project, there is a possibility that we would look at paying that ahead as well, right? But that would depend on a variety of factors. Certainly, the market doing what we expect it to do and what we would like it to do. And at the same time, I think it also depends on other plans, including CapEx and other things that we would plan, depending on, of course, the kind of growth that we continue to see.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. And all the best for the coming quarters and years.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Kaushal Shah from Dhanki Securities Private Limited. Kindly proceed.
Yeah, thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Is my voice audible?
Yes, Kaushal. Good morning.
Yeah, sir. So, congratulations on the great set of numbers. If you can share with us, what was the utilization level at the Pedaparia plant?
Sure. For the quarter, for the past quarter, it was just a tick above 20%.
Okay, and given that the demand scenario looks pretty buoyant, where do you think will that number be by March
23? I think we're looking at a number that would probably be about 35% or so. That's what we're targeting to be at by March.
All right. Coming to the RM and specifically on the scrap prices, what were our average scrap price, let's say on a per kg basis for the second quarter? Hello.
Hello, sir. We are not able to hear you now.
How about now?
Yeah, you're done. Thank you.
Okay. I'm sorry. I don't know what seems to be the problem, but you can hear me now, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I think, so exact price is difficult to talk about, but if I was to look at what it was compared to the first quarter, maybe about 4 rupees a kg lower, I would think.
Right. And if the current sort of benign price scenario continues, will there be a possibility that maybe one quarter down the line, there could be a scenario where we'll have to pass on even the lower prices to the customers? So optically, is there a possibility that our realizations could dip on a quarterly basis?
I mean, as you mentioned, I think that's why if you look at, you know, what our guidance of 12 rupees per kg, even though we've done better than that in Q2, we're not, you know, revising that upward. But we don't really know what might happen in the raw material price market. But that being said, I think if you look at, you know, how much raw material prices have come off in other geographies, whether it's Europe or the US, and how much they've come down in India, I think we've come down a lot less than what it has across the world. So there might be potential that raw material prices may come down, or we never know, it could also strengthen or stabilize. So that is a variable that we are still not fully aware of.
Sir, on the export front, you know, we've been maintaining a very good growth momentum and numbers are actually justifying that. Some thoughts on how you perceive the US market and the Europe market maybe an outlook for the next 6 months or so based upon the feedback that you're getting from your customers.
Sure. I think what the feedback we're getting from customers is they expect an extremely, extremely strong 2023. In fact, the forecasts are a little bit higher than what they expect to achieve in 2022. Right? When I say a little bit higher, I mean about 5% or so higher. And I think this was also reflected recently. PACCAR, which I think is the second largest truck manufacturer in the U.S., had their earnings call, and they also made a similar statement where they expect 2023 to be extremely strong. There's a strong backlog of orders. In addition to the strong backlog of orders, it looks like the last couple of months, the order intakes have also gone up.
We have the management line connected. Kindly proceed.
Yeah, sir, you were sharing about the export outlook.
Yeah. So, I think we expect the U.S. market, everybody seems to keep thinking that it's on the commercial vehicle front, they're going to have an extremely strong year in 2023, so a little bit better than 2022, driven by, a little bit of easing up of the semiconductors, of course. But in addition to that, the strong demand backlog is there. And if you see the last couple of months, I think the new truck orders also have been quite good. So 2023 seems to be shaping up to be a fairly good year. There might be some drop off that might happen in 2024, but I think it's too early to tell about that. But 2023 looks to be shaping up to be a very good year. That's what we can tell based on the information that we're receiving in the North American market. The European market also seems to be quite strong. There seems to be, quite an order backlog on trucks. So I think that's something that also, I think a surprising positive, especially considering everything we've been reading in the newspapers about severe recession in Europe and all of that. But the forecast and the mood there seems to be actually quite positive on that front. Even I think on the ag and off-highway front, they seem to be, the OE seem to be projecting, about a 10 to 15% growth. So we'll have to wait and watch, obviously. But right now, from the projections we are getting from customers, it seems to be quite positive.
Sure. And the final question from my side, going by the utilization level at the Pelparia plant, it seems likely that the brownfield capex, which the earlier participant also spoke about, that may not be required in the next calendar year. But would you be anticipating, some additional capex on that front, for that additional 50,000 ton capacity by maybe next December?
So I think we would look at, it's too early to tell. I mean, we need to see how the scenario plays out and, how the situations progress over the next few months to really take a decision on that. But it will depend on a couple of things. One is, of course, the overall capacity utilization improvement, but also, certain segments and certain products and products of a certain size and how we forecast that to happen. So I think that's a decision that we will probably take in the month of, February and March as we're budgeting for next year.
Right. And finally, sir, any new order wins or any new customers or maybe even, increase in our relationship with existing customers? Any color on that?
Yeah, so I think we're working on several new programs that are maybe a little bit earlier in terms of stage, in terms of the quotation stage where we're going through technical reviews and all of that, where there's a, I would say, perhaps a pretty good likelihood of order wins. I think no specific order wins that I would like to talk about that or that needs to be highlighted. But I think the more important thing that's happening right now is the order wins that we have are being executed on. And I think that's the important part is the kind of ramp up that we will go through on those programs that we are now on the process of execution.
Great. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bhaskar.
The next question is from the line of Anupama Bhutra from Arihant Capital. Kindly proceed.
Congratulations for posting such strong numbers. So I have a couple of questions. First is, like, what is the order book in terms of, like, not backlog, but this quarter inflow? And the question is revenue contribution from new products this quarter. You can quantify a little bit on that.
Okay. So I think in terms of order book, I think as I alluded to in my initial comments, we expect that, our sales this quarter will be largely in line with what we did in the previous quarter. And the fourth quarter will be better, right? So that's roughly where we think that we will be for the current quarter and the next quarter, right? So, perhaps I think, as I said, overall, we still think that something around that 90,000, is the number that we would achieve in this current quarter should be largely in line with the previous quarter. And in terms of the new product, breakup, I don't believe I have that information currently with me. I think that would probably be a slightly more pertinent question to talk about perhaps in the next call, because we're going through a lot of that initial ramp up that had just started in the last few weeks.
Okay. And one more thing, can you give us some information regarding machining mix, like how much products are totally finished machined and the other one?
So roughly, I think about 65% or 70% of us we supply as in fully machined condition.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Anupama.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Riken Gopani from Capri Global. Kindly proceed.
Hi, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity and congratulations for great results during the quarter. First question is, to try and understand, while you've given an outlook on how people are expecting the export business, if you could talk about any new order wins or your own internal expectations of the export business traction that you are seeing and how the pipeline is shaping up for potential new client wins in that segment. And then related question to that is, we've mentioned in our press release that we could comfortably complete 300 crores guidance on the exports. But given our current performance and our expectations of 100 crore run rate from Q4, we could actually do 350 plus crore kind of a export. Can you please clarify on that as well? Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So I think your first question, sorry, could you repeat your first question? I've got your second question on export.
Basically, how is the pipeline looking like? What new order wins or client wins could we see? And, based on that, what could be the outlook for exports in the next few years?
Yeah. So I think outlook for exports in the next few years, based on, order wins, including what we already have and the orders that we're executing, I think we see the pipeline already of business that, roughly about 500 crores or so in terms of the order wins, right? As in, I'm talking about where we expect to be in terms of, towards probably FY24 kind of period, right? That's roughly what we can see based on order wins today. There's a lot of programs, I think, that we are currently, quoting or having serious technical discussions on. So it's a little too early to talk about that, even though we believe that, we may have a very good chance in many of those. But I would not like to quantify that or talk about that this early. Like I said, perhaps there might be an opportunity to talk about this in the next quarter. And, if we do get some of those wins that we think we might get and if it's done by then.
Right, sir. And on the export revenue guidance, the 300 crore number, what I was asking.
Certainly we think we could do, better than the 300 crores for sure. I think 350 is a little too high, but, somewhere in between that, I think is a fair estimation.
Okay, sir. And just a follow-up on the exports is, you did mention that, the newer orders are now ramping up. So, do you see that there are any initial costs which are impacting in some way or the other the export margin a little bit here and there? And once you sort of fully ramp up, there is a potential for the export margin to see some improvement from that aspect, or are the current margins normalized in the export business? It doesn't get influenced by the ramp up.
No, it will undoubtedly get influenced by the ramp up, because I think once we ramp up and stabilize, I think some of the quality costs as well as some of the optimization will take place, and we will certainly be able to do a better job than what we are in the initial stages, which is where we are right now. So certainly there will be some improvement. I don't think it will be, you know, substantially different, but certainly there will be some improvement that we expect to achieve.
And that is something that we can expect in FY24 or Q3, Q4, where you see this improvement standing out?
I think probably more of FY24, because Q3 and Q4 will be the ramp-up stage as it's happening, right? So FY24 will probably be more of the kind of the stabilization phase.
Understood, sir. Understood. And just lastly, on the overall India, the domestic piece as well, while you've outlined that Q4 is where you see relatively stronger performance given the seasonality, but overall, how are things shaping up there? And overall, are there any new order wins that could help us grow significantly better than the overall market and therefore the outlook for next year also?
Yeah, so I think there are some order wins in the commercial vehicle segment domestically, but these products are still under testing, so perhaps, I don't know if they will impact us in Q3 and Q4. It will depend a little bit on the testing timeline, which is in the hands of the customer more than in our hands. But yes, I think on the CV space as well, we are looking at new businesses and new products and growth in that direction.
So FY24 is where these order wins could transpire for you to come through.
Yeah, that's what we expect, yes.
Understood. And I just didn't get this point, so maybe I'm just asking again, but if you could help me understand that based on whatever are the current raw material trends in the market, do you see your realizations, while obviously there could be volatility, but based on how things are today, what is it that could happen to our realizations and EBITDA per ton?
So obviously, I think, you know, this is a factor that I think beyond our control, right? So if the raw material prices, go up again, then certainly there is a negative effect that comes there. What we are seeing on a global front, we've seen a huge drop off in raw material prices compared to, you know, what was the peak, which was probably between May and July. Comparing that period to now, there's been a huge drop off in global prices. To be fair, we did not see that same kind of an increase what we were seeing globally, during that period. But I think compared to, you know, where we believe that the domestic market should be in terms of the scrap price, it is certainly higher. So we hope that it will come down and we will get, you know, benefited by that in the same way that we were hurt by it in the previous financial year. But it's something that's beyond our control, and we'll be watchful. But we expect that, you know, softening should continue. We don't anticipate it to increase.
So if this softening continues,
so, excuse me, this is the operator, Mr.
Kulkarni.
Yeah, request you to kindly get back in the queue. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor & Company. Kindly proceed.
Namaskar, sir, and thank you for this opportunity. Sir, firstly, many congratulations on not only good set of numbers, but on the path towards providing us more information in the form of a revamped presentation. We hope for the continuity of the same, sir. Firstly, sir, there was line disruption, so I'm just trying to sum it up. You mentioned that on a guided tonnage of 90,000 tons for FY23, we can look forward for a 1 lakh number for FY24, taking into account the unforeseen circumstances. Is that understanding correct, sir?
Yeah,
for the next year.
I think we'd like to do better than that, but I think, yeah, I mean, that's something that we believe is certainly possible. Yeah.
So that 1 lakh number is a conservative number. We have a good outlook, even a better outlook than that. That is a good understanding. And so secondly, about the raw material part, so you mentioned that the scrap prices internationally have corrected more, and the impact of the same here is lesser. So going ahead also, there is a very likelihood of softening of the prices. So is that understanding is correct, sir?
That's the hope, yes. I mean, if we look historically, typically, if you look at how, you know, on a currency converted basis, how the scrap prices in the Indian market versus, let's say, other markets in the world work, there is sometimes a lead or a lag of maybe about 3 months. But overall, in the medium to long term, they more or less line up, right? That's what we have seen historically. Obviously, these are very different times globally. So, but we would hope that that reversion will happen for sure.
And sir, what's the take on the freight market, sir? I think so. The freight market also the prices have corrected haywire. So, what would that impact us, especially for our export segment, or are we neutral on the same aspect?
So there is a softening in freight prices for sure. I think what we've seen is a dramatic drop. If you look at, let's say, from China to the US, but from India, it looks like demand is still reasonably strong in terms of export to US and Europe. So while we have seen some softening in freight, it has not come down substantially, I would say. Right? We expect that will continue to happen in the next few months, that it will keep coming down. When the freight went up, we did get increases from customers. So when the freight does come down, to be fair, there will be some amount of that reduction also passed back to the customers, right? So that's something that will happen. The, you know, whether there's a lead or a lag, or you know what exactly that is, and you know what we might will depend on the radio factors.
Right. So if we take away these factors, this lead time and the lag time effect, what other steps as an organization are we taking to bring in fixed cost reduction, so that even when these vagaries of the raw material mix and the freight moves out, we are able to maintain our EBITDA per kg. So since this quarter we had a benefit of a raw material price correction, which may not be there in the next quarter. And the other aspects like power and fuel, and also on the finance cost, what steps as an organization are we taking so that we can get permanent benefit from these two aspects going ahead, leaving aside this raw material vagaries?
So I think on the fixed cost, the primary thing that we're doing on the fixed to ensure that, you know, we maintain better EBITDA irrespective of these factors is the increase in volume, right? So we are ramping up. We do have good order visibility. So I think that is our focus, is to ramp up to meet that the demand and the requirement. The second thing on the power cost, as you mentioned, is a major cost for us. After raw materials, that is our second highest thing in our, list of costs. As you mentioned, we are procuring more of renewable sources through the group captive method, which is the investments that we have made. I think right now we are at about 60% for the company as a whole in terms of our renewable purchases, renewable consumption of power as well. Right, and then other than that, we are working on operating efficiencies as well, and trying to get better productivities and all of that. That's also happening.
Okay, sir. My moot point was.
Sorry to interrupt.
Yes, sir. I will conclude, sir, and I'll come in the queue. The point I'm trying to understand is this 12 rupees EBITDA per kg is today dependent on majorly, when the upward is only on the raw material front. That lowering raw material prices. So when are we or what steps are we taking that will start reflecting in a permanent EBITDA per kg in the double digit number, keeping aside the other factors? So where are we in midst of that? And I'll come in the queue for my follow up question. Thank you.
Yeah. So Saket, I think in terms of what you have said, right? I think our goal and what we are aiming for and trying to target in the next couple of years, 2 to 3 years, is to get that number up to 15 rupees per kg as an EBITDA, right? And the way that we're going to do it is going to be a mix of a couple of things. One is certainly on the cost front in terms of bringing down energy costs, in terms of improving efficiency. The second one is also in terms of the capacity utilization front and improving our production. And the third one is in terms of the model mix and improving the model mix, right? So these are, I think, the three things that we've talked about also in the past to move. And we believe that it is certainly possible for us to move from where we are today, which is, what we're guiding towards of about 12 rupees per kg to approximately about 15 rupees per kg in the next, perhaps 2 to 3 years.
Right, sir. I'll come in the queue, sir, and thank you for the elaborate answer.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dheeral from PhillipCapital. Can you proceed?
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So you just mentioned that, our ultimate EBITDA per kg target is, around 15 rupees per kg in next 2 to 3 years. So can we expect, like 1 rupee, improvement in EBITDA every year?
All improvements might not. I mean, that's what we will certainly want to do. We'll want to work in a linear fashion. I don't think there's a magic pill that all of a sudden, we will jump from 12 to 15 after the thing, but certainly we would want to make improvements, but the improvements may not necessarily be linear. But certainly, I think we will not expect that all of a sudden, we do 3 years of 12 and jump to 15. I think that's a fair expectation that you have, and it may not be exactly one, for each of the years.
No. So despite the fall in the realization because of the fall in the raw material prices, do we foresee, improvement in EBITDA?
Yes.
Okay, so maybe next year EBITDA would be better than FY22.
Hello, Mr. Dheeral.
Yes, I can hear.
Sorry, you were saying something.
Yes, so I am asking, despite the fall in the realization, our EBITDA per kg, even for the next year, definitely would be better than FY23.
I believe so. Right? I think that that's possible, yes.
Okay. And so my second question was regarding... Okay, and second question is regarding on the export side. So earlier, maybe two, three quarters back, we were guiding like achieving 400 crore kind of an export revenue by FY24. And now when you have, almost 500 crore kind of an order book on the export side, so maybe, we can do even better than 400 crore in FY24?
I think it's possible, but, some of the things that we're talking about in the order book have, start of production dates that are November of 2023, right? So I think that's the last, in terms of the confirmed orders that we have, so some of them have a production start date in November 2023 when I talk about the 500 crore figure. So maybe not all of it would come into, FY24, but certainly I think there's some chunk that will come in.
Okay, but at least 400 crore kind of a revenue we can achieve in FY24. That was our earlier guidance.
Yeah, certainly.
Okay, and the last one question, sir, at what percentage of capacity utilization we break even at our Pedicuria plant because it is still running at 20% kind of a level?
Yeah, so we expect that, I think what I said earlier was we expect that by March we should be at about maybe a 35% or so utilization.
So at 35% we break even?
At 35% we would break even.
Okay, what's your point? Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aman Agrawal from Carnelian Capital. Kindly proceed.
Good morning, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. So, my question was on EBITDA per kg. Like, we have reported an EBITDA of 13.5 rupees per kg. So, was there any one-off commodity price gain or forex gain included in this EBITDA? Because commodity prices slightly decreased, and also the INR has depreciated against USD. So, if you can basically talk a bit on that.
I think if you were to wipe it out, we believe in terms of raw material impacts and and forex impacts, certainly the number that we're talking about would be somewhere around that 12 rupees, right? As against the 13.5 rupees, I think that's roughly where we think where the number would be. We don't have a precise detailed calculation for you, but roughly around 12 rupees, right? Which is why that's what we're guiding for the rest of the year, even though in the current quarter we did see, better numbers.
Got it, sir. And so in terms of forex, how much is our hedge percentage right now, and how are we planning to hedge our forex exposure going forward, given the current depreciation in INR?
I think, our decisions on hedging forex, I think, are largely tactical and, relatively, short-term in nature, right? I think we probably typically look at only 6 months period of time or so. And we avoid hedging anything more than, 50% of what we, expect to receive, just to make sure that we are not ending up in a situation where, our coverage on the hedge in terms of a forward contract is higher than what we might receive, even in the worst case scenario of a market drop, right? I think that's just good hygiene and good practice that we do. But it would vary quite substantially. I think, when we saw the rupee go to 82 rupees, we took a little bit of coverage. Similarly, so this is something that we don't have necessarily a clear, direction on what percentage we hedge. We try to be more tactical about it and try to, do the best that we can. But like I said, we would not hedge more than, 50% to 60% of our expected receivables for that month.
Got it, sir. And sir, if you can help me with the production volume numbers for this quarter and the export volume numbers for this quarter, sir.
Production volume, give me a second. So the production volume for the quarter was 22,366. And the sales volume, as I mentioned earlier, was 22,090.
Okay, export volume, sir?
Export volume, I don't have it in tonnage. I have only in terms of value of about 82.8 crores.
Got it. And sir, in terms of working capital, with the freight rates declining and also some commodity prices declining, so do we see a decrease in realization and also a decrease in working capital for us going forward, given we basically make profits on per kg basis? So ideally, our return on capital employed should improve if the realization basically decreases. So any outlook on that? So are we seeing any reduction?
I think that's a fair statement that you're making, right? In terms of an improvement in ROC, if there's a decline in raw material prices, and while that means that maybe the top line doesn't grow as fast, the reality is it means that ROC will be better because working capital will come down. Certainly, I think that is that's realistic. But I think we'll have to wait and watch the next 2-3 quarters, to see that play out.
Intra, final question. So, if you can share your outlook on the MSCB cycle, how you are seeing the cycle basically playing out in terms of your connection with the clients, what kind of volumes we are seeing basically for later part of this year and next part of for FY24, and also specifically touching on the paper segment, given we have a higher content on that side basically.
So I think the tipper segment typically also does better in Q3 and Q4, mainly because, Q2 gets impacted quite a bit by the monsoon. And Q1 is generally a slightly more sluggish quarter in the general context of seasonality within the MNSTV. So that's the second part of your question. The first part is, what we see in terms of the cycle. We're hearing a lot of positivity and a lot of optimism continuing in. We think Q3 is going to be strong, and Q4 is also continuing to be strong. Typically, there's a much bigger jump that happens in Q4. We don't think that as big a jump will happen this year between Q3 to Q4. And I think last year's Q4 numbers were also fairly elevated. So, we might not see a big bang of excitement, I would say, in Q4 compared to either a year-on-year or a quarter-on-quarter. But certainly, we think Q4 is going to be a very good quarter, and, you know, certainly better than last year, certainly better than, you know, Q2 and Q3 of this year. And the outlook seems to continue to be strong. I think even for the next year, they do anticipate that there will be fairly strong, you know, double-digit growth in MNHCV in FY24 over FY23. Now, FY25, I think, with elections in 24, there is some question mark if that will have any impact on, you know, government spending and other things. But certainly, I think the forecast seems to be quite strong for the MNHCV space.
Understood, sir. Just a final clarification, sir. So, given we are expecting good volumes in some CV segment in Q3 and Q4, and that is slightly higher margin product for us. So, ideally, we should do better than 12 rupees for Q3 and Q4, right? And also, export share will be increasing given the volume ramp up from the order book.
Yeah, we'll hopefully we can do better than that, but. Like I said, there are some factors that are beyond our control, including, what happens with raw material prices and other things. So let's, I don't want to comment too much on it, but we'll certainly strive for that.
Understood, sir. Thank you for answering my questions. It was really helpful.
Thank you, Jira.
The next question is from the line of Sahil Sanghvi from Monarch Network Capital. Kindly proceed.
Yeah, good morning, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, hi, good morning.
Yes, congratulations, sir, for a very good set of numbers and majorly executing on what you had guided. I had primarily questions on the export side, sir. First, for a similar product, the margins that you make on exports, how much would that be greater than domestic?
So I think typically what we've said in the past is, roughly speaking, exports, you know, between 18 and, you know, 20 rupees a kg roughly is, and domestic perhaps around 10, which, you know, kind of brings that average up to about 12 is roughly what we've been seeing in the last few quarters. Obviously, you know, there are certain quarters where it spikes and valleys are there. So I'm just kind of averaging it out over what we expect over a normal period.
Right, sir. So, fair to understand that, you know, if we ramp up the proportion of exports in our total mix, there is good expectation of margins to increase?
I think that's a fair expectation, right? And I think that's one of the factors that we believe will also help us move closer to a 15 rupees per kg EBITDA.
Right, sir. And secondly, the new products that we are developing and, you know, from January 2023, we expect to roll it out. Do we have any kind of, volumes which are already booked or any kind of orders which are booked? I mean, I understand you gave us a number of 500 crores, but I think that's the total export number right now. So, from this new volumes, do we have any kind of commitments right now that you can give us?
So, I think, you know, roughly the parts, I mean, there's been some small volumes of the parts that were done probably in the last quarter, relatively small. But I think as we ramp these up, the new product that we're talking about perhaps would contribute to, I think it could be about maybe 15 crores a quarter or something like that, 15 to 20 crores a quarter, right? So I think that's the gap between where we're currently at, which is at about 82.8 to be more precise, and about 100 crores where we think we can get close to in Q4.
Got it, sir. Congratulations again and thank you so much for your answers.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Suraj Kopanti from Axis Bank. Can you proceed?
Hello, good afternoon, sir. Hope I'm audible.
Yes, Suraj, you're audible.
Yeah, just wanted to understand, like, what kind of raw material inventory do you maintain? Like, is it for a couple of months or you just sourcing from spot? And is it sourced entirely from domestic market or you import as well?
Okay. So, raw material, we maintain anywhere between 15 days to a month. I think it depends. Again, here we try to be a little bit tactical based on what we forecast in terms of how the prices will move. But typically about 15 days to 1 month is the range that we maintain in terms of raw materials. In terms of sourcing of the raw materials, primarily in terms of steel scrap and pig iron, almost all of it, right? All of it we source it domestically. Our sources in some cases might choose to, import it or procure it domestically. But, you know, as long as they meet our quality requirements, we don't go one way or another. There might be some very small amount of other materials such as carbon or something else that might be imported. But, you know, if you look at our overall material spend, 99% is domestic and less than 1% or so. So we're looking at our last year's annual report, you'll see would be imported materials.
Okay. Thank you. That's it for myself.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Deepak for closing comments.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you for joining. I think since we had a quarter that I would consider to be a fairly decent quarter, and we hope that the market continues to remain strong and we continue to execute, and we look forward to these continued interactions with all of you. Thank you very much again for your time, and look forward to talking to you also.
Thank you. On behalf of Nelcast Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.